At dusk on a small farm along the rim of Cockpit Country, a boy points to a thick coil under the breadfruit tree. The neighbors call it the yellow snake. An aunt uses the older name, Nanka. Someone reaches for a stick. A farmer shakes his head and keeps his voice even. He has lost feed to rats all month. He has never seen this snake take a hen. The boa lifts its head and tastes the air. Orange on the flanks catches the last light. It moves with patience, not panic. A chicken clucks from the coop, then settles. The farmer guides the crowd back a few steps. He tells them it is not venomous. He says it belongs here. He says it eats what eats his crop. The snake slips to the stone wall and disappears into the vines. The yard exhales. The boy asks why people fear something that keeps their food safe. The farmer answers with a question of his own. What happens when fear wins and the helper is gone? Yellow snake, living culture. Morning comes soft on limestone hills cut by sinkholes and gullies. The farm is a patchwork of yam mounds, coconut, and a small coop built from scraps of zinc. Night work shows in the soil. Rat tracks are plain in the damp earth near the feed bin. The farmer counts fewer this week. He marks it in a small notebook and nods. He learned the names from his father. Yellow snake. Nanka. Jamaican boa. Three names for one animal that lives nowhere else. Elders use Nanka in stories that warn children to keep out of caves and to mind where they step at night. Those stories travel fast. Facts travel slower. He knows a simple truth. None of Jamaica's snakes are venomous. The boa kills by holding tight and waiting. It eats what fits in its mouth. Rats, birds, bats, lizards. It does not see the world as people do. It follows scent and heat. It moves when light fades and trees breathe out cool air. The boy who saw the boa last night walks the edge of the garden with his grandfather. The older man shares what he was told as a child. He was taught to cut first and ask later. He says people used to boast about the size of the snakes they killed. He looks at the garden and shakes his head. Times change when food is tight and rats chew money to crumbs. They stop by the breadfruit tree. Feathers from a past meal lie in a small circle. The old man says dogs pulled a hen here last year. He says people blame the yellow snake for every missing bird. He points to the hole under the fence and the gnaw marks on the feed bin. He lets the boy make the link. A teacher from the nearby school visits the farm for produce. She hears the talk and adds a note of her own. She runs a science club that walks the road at dusk to count birds and bats. The club keeps a simple tally. When rats go up, the club marks more chewed fruit and fewer seedlings left standing. When boas are seen near the drains and stone walls, the rat numbers dip. The children notice first. Patterns are clear when you write them down. The farmer remembers a night years ago. He and a neighbor lifted a boa from the cane cut. It had taken a rat and lay still with a tight curve in the belly. They let it slide back into the trash line that borders the field. That season was the first time in years he picked corn with only a few cobs spoiled. He did not call it luck. Fear sits deep. A woman from the lane speaks about a cousin who swore a yellow snake chased him. The farmer listens and then explains how a snake that feels cornered will move fast toward the nearest cover. If the cover sits behind a person, it looks like a chase. He keeps his tone level. He does not try to win with pride. He tries to leave room for a change of mind. Names carry weight. Yellow snake sounds plain. Nanka feels older. Jamaican boa puts the island in the animal and the animal in the island. Each name unlocks a different door in how people feel. When the boy says Nanka, he hears story. When he says Jamaican boa, he hears a species with a place on a list that people read in offices and labs. The farmer does not correct him. He lets both names stand. Culture and science can walk the same road. The yard itself is a small map of how a shy predator lives near people. The boa uses the stone wall that marks the back of the property. It passes the compost heap when frogs sing after rain. It waits near the drain where field mice cross at night. It moves through the breadfruit roots and keeps one eye on the coop. It is not here for a fight. It is here to eat and move on. The chickens know more than people think. When a mongoose slips under a fence, birds explode in alarm and do not settle. When a hawk passes overhead, the yard falls silent and tight. When a boa moves along a wall, the chickens track and then calm. The farmer watches for this sign. He reads the coop like a radio. Old stories sometimes paint the boa as a thief that loves hens. The farmer's ledger shows a different story. Rats eat feed. Rats chew sacks. Rats foul water. The boa follows rats. A hawk or a dog takes more chickens than a snake does in a year. The ledger is not a paper anyone will frame, but it keeps the farm honest. Numbers cool hot talk. The boy asks where the snake goes in the day. The farmer points to the breadfruit and a tangle of vines that bridge to a guango limb. He explains how a heavy body climbs when the angle is right and branches touch. The boa waits where birds move at dawn and dusk. It rarely sits in the open. It uses shadow. It uses patience. Most people pass within a few feet and never know. On market day, the farmer carries yam and callaloo into town. He hears the usual mix. One young man says the only good snake is a dead one. An older vendor says the snake is a sign the land still breathes. A child leans over the stall and asks what the yellow snake eats. The farmer keeps his replies simple. He says it eats rats. He says it keeps the food bill down. Back on the farm, the teacher runs a short talk under the lignum vitae. She brings two clean shed skins in a paper bag. She passes them hand to hand. Children are surprised by the feel. Dry. Light. No slime. The teacher shows how the scale pattern tells a story of movement. She points to the heat pits along the jaw and explains how the snake senses warm-blooded prey. She reminds them that killing a protected animal carries a penalty. She reminds them that the law is one tool. Respect is stronger. The conversation turns to myth. Someone says the boa hypnotizes chickens with its eyes. The teacher answers with behavior. A bird that sees a predator may freeze. It is a survival tool that sometimes fails. A still bird looks like a spell to a person who wants a reason for fear. Facts step in and loosen the grip of old tales. Late afternoon, the farmer fixes fence wire. He keeps the coop tight. He fixes holes before night. He does this for dogs, cats, and mongoose. He does it for the boa too. He does not want it to learn that the coop is easy food. He draws a clear line. You can live here, he says to the bush at the fence. You cannot have my hens. The difference is in the fence and the feed bin and the habit of checking both before dark. He walks the trash line one more time. He finds a single pile of rat droppings smaller than last month. He marks it. He knows this is not proof on its own. He tracks over time. He pairs the notes with what he and his neighbors see at dusk. He adds the teacher's club counts when they share them. A pattern grows over the season. When fear eases and hands stay off sticks, boas are seen more often. Rat signs fall. The garden holds more food. The boy asks a last question before dinner. He wants to know if the yellow snake has a home the way a person has a house. The farmer speaks about range and routes. He says the boa uses the valley, the wall, the drain, and the trees in a loop. It may rest under the same rock for a few days when the belly is full. It may leave for weeks when the food shifts. It does not guard a fixed place. It follows need and safety. Night rises. Tree frogs start. A fruit bat skims the breadfruit leaves. The boy sits with his pencil and draws what he remembers from last night. He draws the head slightly up and the tongue out. He draws the smooth curve of the body as it moved to the wall. He draws the patch of orange that looked like tiny flames in the low light. He writes yellow snake under the picture. Then he adds Jamaican boa. In the lane, men trade stories. In one, a man swears the boa broke a dog's leg with a single rap. In another, someone claims it can grow longer than a pickup. The farmer does not argue. He asks them when they last saw a rat in their kitchen. He asks them if they remember how it was 5 years ago when people killed every snake on sight. He leaves the questions to work on their own. A quiet shift takes root. The ant who reached for a stick last night still keeps one by the door. She has not thrown it away. She has not lifted it either. She tells the boy she will watch first next time. She tells the farmer to keep the coop tight. She asks the teacher for the date of the next club walk. She says she wants to see bats gather over the sinkhole at dusk. The chapter in this yard is small. One farm. One family. One snake that may pass once a week, and then not again for a month. Yet it is a chapter that repeats across parishes where limestone holds water and walls hold heat after sunset. People meet a native animal that shares their space. They carry fear, habit, and a set of stories. They also carry a need to keep food safe and money in pocket. If facts and respect stand close, fear loses a step. The farmer sits on the step when the moon clears the hill. He hears a rustle in the leaves near the wall. He does not move. He listens for the difference between a rat's quick feet and the slow push of a heavier body. The sound fades. He smiles and goes inside. In the morning, he will check the bin and the fence. He will walk the rows. He will look for signs that the quiet neighbor who hunts at night has passed through. The question from the yard stays open. Can respect replace fear when people learn what the yellow snake is and what it does? The answer will come in small choices made in dim light and bright days. It will come in how many sticks stay on the ground. It will show in the ledger where rat signs drop and harvest holds. It will show in stories that shift from threat to balance. The boy closes his notebook and leaves the drawing on the table. The last lines he wrote sit under the picture. He wrote that the yellow snake is part of the farm. He wrote that the farm is part of Jamaica. He did not write an ending. He left space for what happens next when a living culture decides to keep a native neighbor alive. A name fixes a creature to the page. Jamaican boa is the common name most people meet first. Chylobothra subflavus is the name used by researchers. Both point to the same animal that lives only in Jamaica. Endemic means it is found here and nowhere else. The island is its whole world. Oceans define the border. That border kept the boa on its own path for a long time. The body shows what it does for a living. A heavy head sits on a strong neck. The jaw opens wide. Heat pits along the lips sense warm prey in low light. The tail grips and steadies as it climbs. Color shifts with age and place. The ground can be olive, gold, or brown. Orange patches glow along the sides. Dark markings break up the outline in leaf shade. Young snakes carry sharper patterns that soften as they grow. Adults are large for an island. Many settle between 1.5 and 2 meters. The thickest part of the body can be the size of a man's wrist. Size brings reach in a tree and power on the ground. The scales shine when clean and dry. They lock like a flexible shield. Dirt dulls them in the bush. A shed skin lies light as paper and shows a perfect ghost of the pattern. The head shape is angular without points. The eyes sit forward enough to trace movement. Pupils narrow in strong light and widen at dusk. The tongue touches air and reads chemical notes that linger on leaves and stone. Chylobothrus is the genus for West Indian boas. Subflavus points to the yellow tones in this species. The scientific name moved in the past when the group was reclassified. The animal did not change. The label did. Identity is not only a look. It is a set of habits shaped by land. This boa hunts at night. It rests by day in tight spaces. Hollow logs, rock pockets, dense vine tangles, and cave ledges hold the heat of night and the cool of morning. A prehensile tail marks a climber. The boa can anchor on a branch and reach into a nest. It can loop through vines and move with control. It can drop short distances without injury. A heavy body does not mean slow thinking. Dry limestone forest is the heartland. Karst country stacks stone in steep cones and sinks water into hidden caves. Trees grow with tough leaves. Vines thread from trunk to trunk. Shade is patchy and heat shifts by the hour. The boa uses this mosaic to hunt and to hide. Edge habitat gives it options. A stone wall holds heat after sunset. A drain carries frogs when rain falls. A breadfruit limb over a yard is a bridge for rats. The snake moves along these edges and picks off prey that travel the same lines. Caves add a night market of wings. Bats stream from mouths at dusk. The boa takes a position near a ledge or a low opening. It strikes from the side when a single bat brushes the stone. It eats and backs into shadow again. Range once read like a broad sweep across suitable ground. The map now shows strongholds with space between them. Patches hold the story of survival. The spaces tell why the story tightened. Cockpit Country is the largest stronghold. It is a mass of conical hills and closed valleys. Sinkholes catch water. Forest clings to steep faces. The maze keeps pressure low and routes complex. The boa still finds paths here. To the east, the Blue Mountains rise cool and wet. The main ridge holds cloud forest. Lower slopes carry mixed woods and farms. The boa does not dominate the high ridge. It traces the margins where altitude eases and food runs along gullies and old stone fences. John Crow Country lines the eastern edge near the coast. Cliffs and deep ravines drop toward the sea. Dry patches on spurs and inland faces make shelters. Bats roost in limestone here too. The boa uses those entrances as it does in the west. South of Kingston, Hell's higher hills carry hard, open dry forest. Leaves are small. Branches are tight. Limestone breaks into steps and pockets. This is an old place for the boa. It matches the snake's need for cover and warmth in winter nights. Portland Bight sits to the west of Hell's Higher. Coastal scrub, mangrove fringe, and dry forest inland create a mix. Old records and recent sightings tie the boa to ridge lines and thickets above the salt air. It moves where stone stays dry and rodents track along cleared lanes. The Yala's region holds scattered pockets on the windward side. Farms and scrubland share the slopes. The boa persists where trees bind soil and rocks remain stacked along field edges. It appears and vanishes like a rumor that proves true every few months. Goat Islands once held the species. Early accounts named it among the animals seen there. The small size and isolation of those low islands left little margin. Over time, the species blinked out from that dot on the map. The record now reads as a loss. These strongholds share a few traits. Limestone underfoot, cover that spans ground to low canopy, prey routes that repeat with season and habit. The boa stitches these pieces into a workable world. Between the strongholds lie broad gaps. Some gaps are water or high ridge. Others are land that no longer holds the mix of cover and prey the boa needs. The snake's body can cross short distances of poor habitat. It cannot build a life there. Home range is a set of loops, not a simple circle. A snake may work one valley for a month, then cross a saddle at night and settle on the next slope for a season. It follows food and temperature. It uses routes it has tested before. The animal is solitary outside of mating. Two adults may use the same wall in different weeks. Scent marks and memory prevent conflict most of the time. A large male may roam farther when females are receptive. The pattern remains a loop pulled long and then let go. Young boas start small and secret. They work tight cover where lizards and small mice move. As they grow, the menu changes. Bats, rats, and birds become worth the energy. The shift in diet shifts the nightly path. Color helps with this hidden life. Orange on the sides breaks the line of the body at dusk. Dark saddles look like shadow from leaves. The head blends with bark. In the right light, the snake is not a shape at all. It is a slight change in texture across stone. The island's microclimates set daily plans. In dry months, movement favors caves, drains, and places where prey still moves. In wet months, frogs draw snakes to low ground. Birds feed young and make more trips at dawn and dusk. The boa matches that rhythm. Altitude trims choices. Cold nights at higher elevations slow digestion. The snake seeks rocks that hold heat to make the meal worth the effort. Lower slopes offer easier math. Food energy outweighs the cost of keeping warm. The map also carries old travel lines. Stone boundary walls from long ago plots still cross hills. Abandoned cane lanes cut through scrub. The boa uses these like corridors. A wall is a sun trap by day and a runway of scent by night. Some trees are better than others for a heavy climber. Guango branches spread wide. Breadfruit limbs slope and join in strong forks. Old citrus trees hold low, tight branches near the trunk. The boa stores this furniture in memory and returns when the season brings chicks, fledglings, or fruit that draws rodents. Identity extends to how the snake moves. It does not waste strikes. The first touch is a decision. If the distance is wrong, it waits. If the angle is poor, it shifts a few inches and tries again. The strike is not rage. It is a timed reach toward a line that keeps life going. Range studies use simple tools. Night walks along fixed routes. Notes on time and weather. Counts of prey signs at the same points each month. Shed skins collected and measured. Short videos at cave mouths. Over years, these small pieces build a picture. That picture does not show one uniform island. It shows strong blocks and thin threads. It shows a pattern of persistence in the most complex limestone. It shows a species using edges with care where edges still exist. The boa's identity is tied to karst more than to any parish line. Where limestone breaks into knobs and pockets, it finds shelter. Where gulfs swallow water and return cool air at dusk, it finds prey. Where the ground is flat and open for long stretches, it moves faster and risks more. Maps of vegetation types match sightings. Dry limestone forest and scrub hold the dots. Moist forest margins hold fewer dots. High montane zones hold the least. Coasts with intact scrub show points near ridges and rocky outcrops above salt air. The sea itself is a hard border. The boa is not a swimmer of long channels. It may cross short salt creeks at low tide. It does not disperse across wide water. That is why Goat Islands could lose it. That is why the main island matters for the whole species. Identity also includes birth. This boa gives live young. The mother carries the developing young and births them when they are ready to feed. No nest is built. New snakes slide into cover and begin the solitary life from the first night. Scent trails rhythm through this cycle. A male follows a female's track when breeding season nears. The path can cross the same wall, drain, and limb that serve as hunting routes. The snake's map is layered. Food, mates, and shelter all tie to the same lines. The eyes of the species reflect red in lamp light from certain angles. Field workers use that flash to pick them from vine tangles at a distance. The color is not a warning. It is a quirk of the way light hits the back of the eye. Silence is part of the identity. The boa does not hiss much. It does not rattle. Its main defense is to vanish. When pressed, it tightens, pulls the head back, and shows the mouth. The display is short and meant to buy 1 second to reach a hole or a branch. Range pins the boa to places with patience. It is a hunter that waits and a traveler that repeats. Even in a stronghold, it exists as a string of moments where the land gives cover and the prey gives a mistake. The places named earlier are not only dots for experts. People live along the edges of these patches. They hang laundry on lines strung from limestone posts. They pull water from tanks that sit on rock. They walk footpaths that trace the same route the snake takes after dark. Identity and range meet in the idea of a threshold. How much cover is enough? How many prey lines must cross a wall? How far can a snake travel between caves or vine bridges before risk outweighs reward? The answers shift by season and by year. A map that once felt continuous is now a set of rooms with doors. Some doors stay open through ravines and gullies. Others have narrowed to cracks. The snake still moves through the open ones. It tests the cracks when hunger or breeding pushes the loop wide. In the West, cockpit country's size gives room for error. A young snake that makes a bad choice can slip into another valley before dawn. In smaller patches, a bad choice ends the loop. That difference helps explain why one area remains a stronghold and another reads as a faint trace. Goat islands are the hardest lesson on a small scale. A population that fits on two low islands has no deep valley to retreat into. It has no long ridge to work while the season is bad. One hot year can break the chain of survival. One cold week can do the same. That is why the old record there now stands alone. The island's bones wrote the first draft of this range. Limestone lifted from the sea. Rain carved it into a labyrinth. Plants adapted to drought and flash rain. Animals matched that pattern. The boa is among the clearest readers of this script. To see the species clearly, stand in dry forest at dusk and listen. Air flows from a cave and cools your legs. Bats tick past your ears. Leaves scrape softly as a body shifts weight on a vine. This is not a generalist story. It is a specialist hanging on to the details of a place. The closer the map is drawn, the more the identity sharpens. Not any boa. This boa. Not any forest. This forest. Not any island. This island. That is the center of a documentary record. Pin the name. Pin the places. Keep the two tied. A single photograph can mislead. One snake in a mango tree could be anywhere warm. A series of nights, a route on paper, and notes of caves, walls, and drains make it Jamaica. The map of the animal is the map of home. The question that follows is simple and hard. How did a snake that fit the island so well end up in patches? The next chapter steps into the year when a new competitor arrived and the lines on the map began to change. The boa remained the same animal. The world around it shifted. Sugar was money in the 19th century. Cane stretched across plains and up gentle slopes. Mills turned day and night. Rats followed the cane and the sacks of molasses. They chewed seed. They chewed cane. They chewed profits. Planters tried traps. They tried poison. They tried cats that tired quickly in fields that never ended. Letters moved between estates about a small predator from far away. The animal worked in cane countries in the east. It hunted rats in daylight and moved fast through low brush. In 1872, Jamaica joined the list of islands that opened a crate and let the small Indian mongoose step onto new ground. The first animals learned quickly. Cane fields offered cover and food. Drains carried frogs. Fence lines carried lizards. Yards around factories spilled scraps. The mongoose spread along the roads, the canals, and the edges of every field where grass met ditch. Rats did not vanish. They hid more and fed at hours when the new hunter slept. They bred in places the mongoose did not reach. The pressure shifted. It did not end. The numbers on ledger pages moved up and down with season and weather. They did not fall to zero. Native snakes felt the change in a more direct way. A diurnal hunter that can slip into burrows and root through leaf litter meets a snake where a snake rests. Young boas stay near the ground in tight cover. They are small. They move slowly when the belly is full. A quick bite to the head and a shake ends a life that took years to start. Old field walls became highways for the new predator. Stone steps warmed by sun gave the mongoose a vantage point at midday. The same walls had been night tracks for boas. The day shift and the night shift now crossed. One side adapted faster. Stories from the time praise the mongoose for a clean yard. Those stories have roots. A mongoose will clear scraps and run off a dog that lingers. It will take a snake and carry it like a banner down a lane. Pride in a tidy yard meets fear of a native animal in that image. The result is simple. More people lifted sticks. More snakes died. Boas had survived hurricanes, drought, and the long churn of farming that rose and fell with prices in London. The new pressure sat close to their bodies. It followed them into rest sites a hand wide. It sniffed along the same walls and drains. It raised the cost of being young. Ground birds added to the accounting of loss. Nests in low scrub hold eggs for days. Chicks that run before they fly move with noise that cuts through grass. The mongoose reeds that sound like a dinner bell. A snake that once took a nest now met a competitor at every turn. The shift seems simple on paper. On the ground, it spread in small steps that added up. Roads brought another change. Carts gave way to cars. The island paved long curves through scrub. Warm asphalt at night brought snakes to the margin where heat leaked into air. Headlights froze them. The first move was often the last. Boas built for climbing and coiling do not read a car well. The new lines that cut between patches took a toll that grows with each year. Cane did not hold every acre. Forests stood on limestone in the west and in dry hills near the south coast. Those places shielded the boa. The mongoose reached them later or not at all. Distance and rock slowed the spread. The map of the boa's range began to mirror the places where old forest pressed back and roads stopped at broken ground. Estate records drew a different picture. A tidy works and a steady crop were the goal. Predator and prey were tools. The narrow view missed the web that tied rats, snakes, birds, bats, and people. A tool dropped into a living system made changes in directions no one counted. A boy in the 20 years after the first release grew up with a mongoose as a fact. He saw fewer snakes near his yard than his grandfather saw. He learned to chase a mongoose from a coop with a shout. He did not learn to pause when a boa crossed a drain. Habits moved faster than facts. True change also came from knives and saws. Forests came down to make room for fields and later for houses. Each acre cleared took away shade and the ladder of vines that a heavy climber needs. Each new track split a loop into two, halves that no longer met. A species that works by repetition needs routes that repeat. The breaks made the loops thin. Mining later added scars that hold heat and open ground. Bauxite left pits that take time to heal. Roads and haul routes that serve mines make more lane for tires and more risk for animals that cross at night. The pressure on a snake that needs cover and cool stone became structural, not momentary. The mongoose is not the only reason the boa shrank in number, but it is a clear one. The timing is sharp. Before its arrival, snakes had enemies and friends in balance. After, a new enemy joined the list with a speed that changed the math. Birds and lizards felt the same blade. A small predator made for short grass met an island that had much more than short grass. It sampled everything. Control efforts never reached back far enough to erase the first choice. People have trapped mongooses for pelts and for bounties. They have pulled them from coops with dogs. They have set wire that snaps a small neck. None of that removes the edge given in 1872. The animal remains part of daily life wherever scrub meets yard. Not all pressure came at day. People hunted snakes by lamp at night. Some took them for meat. Some for a thrill. Some from fear that felt righteous because the new yard helper had given a fresh reason to hate a native predator. The cost was paid in fewer adults returning to familiar walls. Young snakes were gone early. Old snakes did not live as long. A switch in stories moved under the surface. In one generation, the tale of a snake that keeps rats down turned into a tale of a thief that haunts coops. The mongoose's habit of carrying a dead snake through a yard sealed the lie. People built a chain of cause and effect that started with a body on the ground and ended with a stick lifted for the next one seen. Farmers mark change in small ledgers and in memory. One farmer on a dry ridge could point to a year when rats rose despite a family of mongoose living in his cane. He could point to the same year and recall that the yellow snake was no longer seen by the old stone kiln. The link is not a lab result. It is a field result. It repeats across parishes. Forest guards and district constables tell their own version. They find more sheds and more live snakes on footpaths deep in limestone than near villages. They see more flattened bodies on the new roads than on old marl tracks. They can stand at a culvert and count the bones of small animals taken by the same few predators again and again. The list rarely includes a boa. The pattern reads like a stamp on soft ground. The island now holds more of one hunter and fewer of another. The clash also changed unseen parts of the web. Fewer snakes mean more rats in some places. More rats mean more crop loss and more disease risk. The cost folds into food prices and clinic lines. It rarely explodes in a single event. It drains in small, steady ways. Records from naturalists show a slow retreat of the snake from lowland sites where cane and later mixed farms once held. At the same time, notes from caves in remote limestone tell of boas still taking bats at dusk as if nothing had changed. The two pictures sit side by side on the page. One world bends. The other holds for now. The island learned a hard lesson that many islands share. A predator introduced for one task will try every task. It will not stay within the lines people draw in a letter or a plan. It will eat eggs, chicks, lizards, and snakes as easily as it will eat a rat. It will fill the daylight hours with motion and fill the night with risk for anything that sleeps close to the ground. The year 1872 sits in the center of this story because it marks a turn. Before that date, the boa lived with pressure that rose and fell with seasons and storms. After that date, a new daily pressure never left. Add roads, clearing, and later mines, and the turn becomes a slide. Rural voices today still weigh the same trade. Some say the mongoose keeps the yard neat. Some say the snake keeps the rats honest. Both claims carry grains of truth. Only one fits the longer view that spans harvests, school years, and the slow shift of what lives in an acre of bush. If the chapter ended there, it would only tell of loss. Yet the map still shows strongholds. That is a fact that matters. Limestone folds shielded parts of the island. Deep pockets and steep cones slowed day hunters. Routes that favor night travel stayed intact. The boa held on by doing what it always did. It followed cool air and tight cover where the land still offered both. Local memory holds a counterweight as well. Not everyone welcomed the mongoose. Old keepers of fowl learned early that a quick, clever animal can take half a yard in one morning. They set better fences. They closed coops at dusk. They cursed the little hunter and left the big one alone. These choices did not write headlines. They left a few more boas alive. In some districts, a belief formed that a snake near a graveyard is a guardian. That belief stopped a few sticks. In other places, a belief formed that a snake near a house is a curse. That belief added to the toll. Culture cut two ways at once. The balance shifted with parish and family. The present still shows the past in how people talk about both animals. If a mongoose crosses a yard at noon, someone smiles. If a boa crosses a yard at dusk, someone whispers. The first is treated like a helpful neighbor. The second like a shadow. Knowledge can move those reactions. It does not move them on its own. The arc of a single decision is clear enough to trace with a finger on a map. A crate opened in 1872. An animal stepped out. It found food and shelter. It spread. It met a native predator built for the same edges. It cut into the young of that animal. It met ground birds that nest low. It cut into them as well. It kept moving along roads, walls, drains, and scrub. Not every pressure is reversible. A species adapted to an island is slow to change. A species from somewhere else can change quickly and keep pressure high. That mismatch explains much of what has happened since the crate opened. The chapter closes with a simple point. The boa did not fail. The world around it tilted. People changed land. People added a competitor. People laid roads. The snake adapted where land still gave it a chance. It vanished where the deck stacked against it every hour of the day. The next turn in the story steps from history into daily life at the edge of yards and fields. Houses, coops, drains, and walls draw lines on the land. Choices made at those lines either compound the old mistake or soften it. The question is on the table in every village that sits beside karst. What can neighbors do at the edge to keep a shy native hunter in the picture and food on the table? Late light falls across zinc roofs and stone walls that hold the day's heat. A woman checks the coop latch. A boy pulls weeds from a narrow bed of callaloo. A dog lifts its head and goes quiet. The boy follows the dog's gaze and spots a slow shape near the drain. The yellow snake has come along the wall where rats travel after sunset. No one moves fast. The farmer speaks first. He tells the boy to stand by the water tank. He asks the ant to hold the dog by the collar. He keeps his eyes on the snake and the gap under the woodpile. The boa reads the yard and chooses the shadow line along the fence. It does not turn toward the coop. It keeps its head low and slides past the pile where scraps once drew rats in numbers. This is the place where choices meet. A yard is a border between bush and house. Edges carry food and risk. Chickens live here. Rats live here. People work here. The boa uses these lines to find prey that use them too. Most problems begin when fear meets surprise at this edge. The farmer starts with what is simple. He says the snake is not venomous. He says it is here for rats and mice that follow drains and walls. He reminds the ant about last month when he found droppings under the feed bin. He points to the new metal lid that locks with a clasp. He says the bin now holds feed for birds and not for rodents. The boy asks if the snake will go into the coop. The farmer nods at the door. Wire is tight. The threshold has a solid board that meets the frame. The latch is strong. The coop is closed for the night. A closed coop is not a show of disrespect to the boa. It is a clear line. Food stays for the birds that live here. Wild hunters work the night outside. An older neighbor walks up and leans on the wall. He tells the old story about a snake that chased his cousin around a yard. The teacher from the school steps in with a steady answer. A snake that feels cornered chooses a line to safety. If the nearest dark place sits behind a person, its path looks like a chase. She holds her hands out to show distance. She says, "Give it space and wait." She has said the same words on many evenings like this one. The dog gives a short bark. The ant pulls him back and sets him on a step. Dogs cause most trouble in moments like this. A curious dog pushes close. A defensive snake turns and shows its mouth. The farmer avoids that script. He keeps the dog a few yards back, and the yard falls quiet. Neighbors talk across low walls all over the island. Most agree that rats cause loss. They chew feed. They scare hens off the nest. They foul water and spread illness. Some neighbors want a clean fix like a trap that works each night without thought. Others accept a mix of steps that add up to fewer rats and fewer risks to the animals that also live here. Simple steps change the edge. Feed stays in metal bins with tight lids. Grain spills are swept after dusk. Coops have floors that meet frames without gaps. Wire used for walls is small enough that rats cannot pass. Boards meet boards at corners with no holes left for easy entry. If a hole can take two fingers, a rat can push through it with time. People who build learn this once and keep it in mind. The yard itself can make or break a night. Scrap piles near walls are a magnet for rodents. A pile that sits there for weeks becomes a perfect shelter. The farmer moved his pile after the teacher's club counted droppings nearby. He set it farther out and used a pallet under it for airflow. Rats prefer tight, dark spaces. Air and light spoil their plans. Fruit trees feed families and feed pests. A breadfruit limb that touches a coop roof becomes a bridge. The farmer cuts limbs back so that a gap remains between tree and building. A rat will cross a branch that meets a wall. It will not jump a clean space if another path is easier. The same rule holds for snakes. Gaps cut down chance meetings in tight corners. The ant still carries worry. She asks what to do if she meets the boa alone at the back step after sundown. The teacher gives a plain script. She says, "Keep your distance." She says, "Let it see your path." She says, "Speak to anyone in the house and use the long way around if needed." She says, "No one should try to pick it up. A snake is not a pet. It is a wild neighbor with its own limits." A young man from two houses down carries a stick and looks ready to prove a point. The farmer stops him with a short question. He asks what took his eggs last month. The young man says it was a dog. The farmer asks what chewed the corner of his feed sack. The young man says rats did that. The farmer asks if the snake took a single hen. The young man shakes his head. He lowers the stick and watches the boa slide into shadow. Fear draws stories to fill gaps. One person says the snake breaks legs. Another says it grows longer than a car. The teacher returns to scale and weight. She says many adults are the length of a tall man and thicker than a wrist. She says a large animal can move a small bird or a rat, but not a grown dog. She says a story that scares a child may have started as a way to keep that child away from a sinkhole. She says the land holds risk without added drama. Not every yard is the same. A small lot in a town pushes the edge lines close together. People hang clothes near drains. Light spills from windows and draws insects. Insects draw frogs. Frogs draw snakes. The path of one creature becomes the path of another. A yard that keeps tidy lines makes fewer accidental meetings. Hens need care beyond a lock and a latch. A coop built on bare soil becomes a tunnel field for rats. A wire floor with a packed gravel base breaks the habit. Water sits high enough that hens drink clean and rodents cannot reach. Feed trays come in at dusk. The floor sweeps clear before night. These steps cost time. They save money when seasons stretch. Neighbors also shape the edge with how they share space. A lane that runs between houses often holds piles of things that never found a home. Old tires, boards, broken blocks. Each piece becomes a dry cave when rain starts. The boa reads these objects as a map of cover. A night hunter moves along them like a slow shadow. A community that keeps the lane clear lowers traffic from both rats and snakes near doors and steps. The boy likes to watch the sinkhole at the back of the lane when bats rise. The teacher lets him go only when an adult stands nearby. A sinkhole is beauty and danger in the same circle of stone. People have always warned children away from caves for good reason. That warning stays right even when the fear story about a snake changes into respect for a shy hunter that feeds there. There is no need to prove bravery at the edge. A calm body makes better choices. A person who meets a boa in tight space can step back and open a line. A broom held gently between body and snake makes a clear barrier without harm. A door closed between the two keeps everyone safe while the animal finishes its pass. The goal is not to win. The goal is to move on. A small shop near the junction keeps feed, oil, and nails. The owner hears both kinds of talk each week. Some customers tell him to keep a stick under the counter. Others tell him the snake near the drain is the reason he sells less rat poison now. He takes no side aloud. He does small things that matter. He keeps sacks on wooden pallets. He sweeps at dusk. He seals gaps with metal where rats used to chew. The changes show up in what he does not see anymore. When people act together, the edge shifts in a way a single person cannot manage alone. A street that agrees to keep drains clear after a storm makes fewer wet nests for rats. A school that stores scraps in a closed barrel removes a strong draw. A church that clears brush away from steps sends a simple message to everything that hunts on the ground. Pass through, do not settle. Some changes aid the boa without planning. A family that plants fruit trees to shade a yard hangs feeders where small birds gather. The feeder drops seeds and shells that attract mice. The boa finds a line along the wall that leads to this quiet market. It takes a mouse now and then and keeps the balance. The family never sees the snake. They only notice that the dog barks less at night. Coops that stand on legs with metal guards make good sense in districts where mongoose patrol by day. Those same guards slow rats. They also keep snakes from following rats into habit. The idea is not to block a native animal from all movement. The idea is to remove easy paths into trouble. Stories about chickens feed a constant worry. The farmer returns to his ledger. He has lost hens to dogs, hawks, and one storm that ripped the roof and left birds scattered. He has almost never lost a hen to a boa when the coop was closed at dusk. He says this without pride or a need to win an argument. He says it like a recipe that works when you follow the steps. A woman from the lane lost a young bird last year. She blamed the snake because someone said they saw it by the wall. The teacher visited and walked the yard with her. They found dog tracks near the broken corner of the coop. They found feathers in a pattern that matched a chase. The teacher spoke gently. She asked the woman to repair the corner and watch for a week. The woman did. No more birds went missing. The story changed. Yard lights can help and harm. A bright light left on all night draws insects. Insects bring frogs. Frogs bring snakes. A light on a motion sensor near the coop door gives a short burst when something crosses. People wake and check. The light goes off again. The yard stays dark and cooler. The chain reaction ends. Poison feels like a fast answer when rats rise. It is also a quiet threat to owls, cats, dogs, and snakes that eat a dying rat. A district that chooses snap traps and better storage protects the animals that hunt for free. It also protects curious children and pets that do not read labels. The shopkeeper sells fewer poisons now. He sells more bins and wire. He says the change is not dramatic. It is steady. People also learn small moves that lower stress. If a boa coils under a step during a rain, a person can set a board at an angle to create a dark tunnel to the wall. The snake often chooses the new path and leaves without anyone touching it. A broom handle on the ground marks the route and keeps feet away. A child can watch from a window and learn what patience looks like. Fears do not vanish in a night. The ant still checks the stick by the door as habit. The farmer lets the habit stay for now and adds different habits around it. He tightens the fence every month. He keeps the dog near the house at dusk. He speaks calmly whenever a neighbor tells a fear story. Over months, the tone in the lane shifts. Questions replace boasts. The teacher's club draws a small crowd on the next evening walk. They stand on the road where the breeze lifts and carries the smell of wet limestone. A bat brushes a boy's ear, and he laughs. The teacher points at the wall and asks them to write down how many small tunnels they see at the base. The answer is fewer than last year. The wall itself has been patched and sealed. The edge is still an edge. It is less of a highway. A man from the next district arrives with a tale about a giant snake near a water drum. He says it nearly took his hand. The group asks clear questions. What time was it? How big was the head? Where did it go? He gives unsure answers. Someone mentions a large iguana that uses the same fence line. The man listens and shrugs. He says he will look again. He sounds less certain and more open. Not every meeting ends without trouble. A boa that finds a small hole in a coop can take a chick on a night when rats stay low. A family wakes to noise and panic. The farmer, the teacher, and a neighbor lift the coop gently and slide it away from the wall. The snake follows the line of shade and leaves. The family repairs the hole that same morning. They set a board along the base and add wire that meets the soil. The next night is quiet. These yards are not museum rooms. They change with weather and work. Dry months bring dust and more movement along drains. Wet months bring growth and cover. People adjust. They cut back vines when they press too close. They leave a tangle near the back wall where it does no harm. They learn that a yard can hold wild and domestic life in separate lanes when minds are set to it. Children become messengers without trying. The boy who drew the boa under the breadfruit now corrects cousins when they point at every vine and shout. He tells them the difference between a snake and a rope of roots. He tells them the snake breathes through its mouth when stressed and shows the inside to make space. He tells them this from what he saw and what the teacher said. He does not use long words. He uses what fits his friend's ears. A new couple moves in at the end of the lane. They keep ducks and do not know the local patterns yet. The farmer stops by and welcomes them. He points to the low place where water sits and says to lift the pen a little higher. He gives them a bit of hardware cloth left over from his own repairs. He tells them to close the door before dark. He says this is not about fear. It is about respect for what moves at night. When respect guides the edge, the boa's visits feel less like an invasion and more like a passage. The animal keeps to the wall and the drain. It takes a rat now and then. It leaves less sign than the rats it eats. People rest easier. The dog barks less. Chickens still lay. The same space reads as shared rather than contested. This balance has a cost and a gain. The cost is time spent on fences, bins, and habits that repeat. The gain is food saved, stress lowered, and a native animal left alive to do work no one pays for. The math is plain when a family looks at the price of feed and the price of repair. It becomes plainer when a child sleeps through a night without a dog's alarm or a hen's scream. A small question runs through all of this. Can daily choices in villages protect a shy native predator? The answer grows in quiet, steady actions at dusk and dawn. It grows in the gap cut between a branch and a roof. It grows in a bin that shuts tight. It grows in a yard that stays clear along the wall where night hunters pass. Each step is small. Together they write a new story at the edge where people and the yellow snake share the same few yards of ground. Dusk pulls color from the hills. Air flows from cave mouths like cool breath. Bats form a line and pour into the night. A watcher with a red light stands 10 paces back from the entrance and lets his eyes adjust. A shape hangs still on a vine near the rock lip. The yellow snake waits in the seam between stone and sky. The boa does not chase the cloud. It selects a point where the stream thins. It angles its head. It holds its body with 3 careful loops around a vine and a root. A single bat passes within reach. The strike is short. The loop tightens. The snake backs into shadow and eats with slow, sure movements that waste no energy. This scene repeats across dry limestone. Cave mouths are the evening market. The prey change with season and rain. The method stays the same. Patience. Position. A single clean move. Not all hunting hangs on a vine. The boa uses walls, drains, and logs where mice and rats travel by habit. It tastes air where breadfruit falls and rots. It reads heat and scent left on stone by a small body that has passed a dozen times. The strike happens when the pattern repeats and the angle is right. Field notes grow from long, quiet hours. A worker sits on a low stool near a wall and writes down what passes between dusk and midnight. A lizard flicks and vanishes. A mouse crosses, stops, and crosses again with a seed in its mouth. A short, heavy shape appears without sound where a shadow was a moment ago. The book shows dates, weather, and time. It shows a rhythm that people miss when they walk and talk. The boa also climbs. It does not climb like a racer. It climbs like a hand with many fingers. The tail anchors. The body flows across bark that holds heat from the day. It moves toward a branch that birds use at dawn and dusk. It waits in a place where two limbs cross. It uses cover that looks like tangle to the human eye and like stairs to a snake. Bird nests bring a different set of notes. The boa is a native predator in a forest that holds native birds. This truth sits inside a harder truth. Two of those birds are parrots that nest in holes and at heights where vines and close canopy give snakes a route. The black-billed parrot and the yellow-billed parrot raise chicks in places the boa can reach when vines join branch to branch. People who study parrots walk to nest trees with ropes and notes. They mark which nests fail and which fledge. They look at the trees that fail most often. They note how the canopy meets and whether vines give bridges. They find signs of snakes near some failures. Shed skins. Smooth scales at the base. A coil mark in dust on a limb. They build a picture from clues that repeat year to year. This brings attention that belongs to islands. One endemic icon sometimes eats another. The boa that holds rats down also takes nestlings where vines meet a hollow. A single nest loss cuts deep when a parrot population is not large. A single snake must eat to live. The question is not who is right. The question is how to lower easy routes without breaking a native web. Field teams try simple trials that respect both sides. In one valley, they cut vine ladders that lead straight to nest trees. They leave vines that do not form bridges. They do not touch the tree itself. They do not touch hollows. They record whether chicks fledge in higher numbers when bridges are fewer. They watch for any sign that adults avoid a tree with cut vines. They adjust if the cut harms more than it helps. Elsewhere, they add smooth bands on a trunk below a nest hole when the tree sits near human work. The band turns a rough climb into a slide. The measure stays narrow. It goes only on trees that stand at forest edges where snakes already have many options. It comes down after the season is done. It prevents a single path without acting like a wall across the forest. Caves give a different trade. Bats breed in numbers that shape whole valleys. They eat insects that would strip young leaves. They carry seeds that start new trees after storms. The boa that takes a bat now and then rides on the back of that abundance. It does not move a colony's numbers on its own. It takes a cut from a river that keeps flowing. Not every meal is a bat or a nestling. Young boas start with lizards and small mice. Their routes stay low and tight. They hide under boards and at the base of walls. As they grow, their menu shifts with their reach. A larger body can hold a bat. A larger loop can hold a rat. The change in prey changes the map a snake uses each night. A note in the field book marks an event that lifts from routine to drama. On a still night, a boa creeps along a branch that hangs over a dark line in the canopy. The line is a trail that parrots use to move from roost to feeding trees at first light. The snake picks a fork and rests. At dawn, the leaves stir. Parrots pass in pairs. The snake does not strike. The distance is wrong. It waits one more morning on the chance of a closer pass. It wastes nothing. Along the edge where farms meet scrub, rodents form the spine of the web. Cane fields draw rats. Grain bins draw rats. Drains draw frogs that draw rats. The boa follows the same routes. Owls trace them above. Mongoose work them by day. Cats add pressure near houses. A choice to secure feed seal bins and clear drains reduces the whole line of risk and lowers the chance that a snake will learn to check a coop. Field workers who study this web learn to separate stories from signs. A feather spread in a circle on damp soil tells one story. A scatter of feathers dragged along a path tells another. A limp head and clean cut in a wing mean dog or cat. A strong squeeze mark around a small chest points to a snake. The workers teach these reads to farmers and children. People start to blame with more care. Rain writes its own page in the notes. In dry months, the boa shows at caves, walls, and trees that hold water in their wood. In wet months, frogs scatter calls along drains. Snakes follow the sound and the heat. Birds with chicks make more trips and carry more scent. The web tightens and loosens with weather that changes week to week. Temperature guides digestion. After a heavy meal, the snake seeks a rock that holds heat into late night. It does not bask in day the way a lizard does. It chooses a place that warms the food enough to move along without inviting day risk. A wall that faces west becomes a favorite after rain. The field book notes which walls across a valley serve this purpose year after year. The boa deals with toxins less often than many predators. One risk comes from the cane toad. A large toad can kill a snake that swallows it. Most snakes learn to avoid very large toads. Young snakes are at higher risk when prey size looks right, but toxins run strong. Field notes mark a few cases each year. The numbers change by district. People circle these notes as a warning that is hard to plan around. The web reaches into kitchens and shops without drama. When boas are present, traps catch fewer rats after a few weeks. Owl pellets show more insect parts and fewer rodent bones where snakes keep rodents down. Dogs bark less at midnight when walls hold fewer tiny feet. A shopkeeper who seals feed and keeps sacks off the floor sees both rats and snakes less often near his door. The web reacts to small steps. A myth often reported says the snake targets poultry. Evidence in ledgers and tracks shows that dogs and mongooses take more birds from yards than boas do when coops are closed. The web turns on what is easy. A gap in a door is easier than a climb into a tree. A bin with a hole is easier than a hunt along a wall. People control easy routes and shift the web without touching a single wild animal. The boa also has neighbors that matter to it, but rarely appear in talk. Tank bromeliads hold water and shelter frogs and insects. The snake uses the stiff leaves as steps on big trunks. Termite nests in trees offer warm walls. A heavy body can press into a soft edge and hold without slipping. Vines act as ladders and bridges. When storms are clearing strip vines across a stand, the snake's path gets longer and risk rises before dawn. A set of night walks near a parrot valley shows this effect. After a storm tears vines from tall trees, snake signs drop on the high limbs. They rise on mid-level vines along the edges where new bridges appear. Parrot nests that sit high and isolated do better that season. Nests on trees with mid-height bridges do worse. The pattern shifts again a year later when new vines climb and lock the canopy. The boa's role as a top native predator is clear in places where mongooses are few and dogs are kept at home. Rodents stay cautious. Birds show normal rates of nest loss. Bats exit caves with the same steady stream year to year. In places with many day predators and frequent night lights, the web frays. Rats feed more boldly. Ground birds fail more often. Snakes die on roads or learn to move only in the tightest cover. Data gaps complicate this picture. No one has a precise island-wide count. The snake's secret life resists quick surveys. Many notes rely on fixed routes and patient watching. Camera traps on low trunks catch tails and bodies that pass in darkness. Cave counts track bat flows as a proxy for food. Parrot projects record nest fates that point to predation, but not always to the predator. The web shows shape and motion more than exact numbers. Even without full counts, long series show trends. Caves that once saw boas nightly now see them less often where a new road brings lights and dust. Drains near new housing hold more frogs and more rat sign. Yards with better bins and fences report fewer problems of any kind. The web responds to human habit faster than it responds to laws that sit on paper far away. One field team tested a simple message in markets. They placed a small sign at a stall that read "Feed in metal, close at dusk, leave the yellow snake alone." The seller told every third customer about bins and latches. A month later, two nearby lanes reported fewer rat chews on sacks. People also reported fewer night meetings with snakes near doors. The web shifted with a sentence and a clasp. Predation on parrots sits in a separate note because feeling runs strong. The aim is not to protect one native by harming another. The aim is to trim a few easy ladders near nests without breaking the forest. Teams choose trees where vine bridges are clear and where parrots can still land without fear. They keep records for years. They look for real change, not one season's luck. At one site, a trunk band and a few cut vines raised chick success without shifting adult use. At another site, the cut scared adults away from a favored tree. The lesson is humility and patience. One valley is not the next. One tree is not the next. People learn to test, to listen to what the parrots do, and to back off when the fix harms the very bird it was meant to help. The boa's place touches people in softer ways too. Children who learn to read tracks carry that habit into other parts of life. They notice when a drain clogs before it floods. They see when a board closes a hole before a rat finds it. They learn to wait and watch when a quick move feels good but does harm. A field note can ride in a child's pocket without ink. Food webs make sense when people put their hands on them. A farmer lifts a board and finds a cool pocket where a snake left a shed. He feels the dry skin and the perfect pattern. He looks at the bin he fixed and the fence he mended. He thinks about the week his dog did not bark. He pushes the board back and leaves the pocket as it was. On another ridge, a parrot team checks a nest hole with a mirror on a pole. Wide eyes look back. Down on the ground, a long piece of vine lies cut to break a bridge. The team looks at the sky and the shape of the canopy. They note wind from the last storm and the way new shoots already reach for the old line. They know this fix will need a repeat before the season ends. A cave walk ends at midnight with two bat wings on the stone and a faint line where a heavy body pulled back from the lip. The watcher marks the time and the state of the moon. He writes that a single bat was taken. He adds a note that the stream tightened late because wind held them in longer. He closes the book and steps back into the bush. The web links more than prey and hunters. It links people across tasks. The shopkeeper who raises sacks helps the snake without thinking about snakes. The teacher who shows shed skins helps the farmer understand a coop break in. The parrot worker who cuts one vine helps a nest this year and watches next year to see if the cut gave something back or took too much. A question threads through the notes. How do we balance two native needs when routes cross? The answer is steady hands and measures that are small, tested, and easy to undo. The answer is to remove the ladders that we created by clearing edges and letting vines drape across lone trees. The answer is to fix our parts of the web and let the rest breathe. The boa eats to live. It does not argue about values. People argue and then choose. Choices that lower waste and seal food reduce harm without touching the snake. Choices that trim a few ladders near nests lower risk for chicks without turning a forest into a park. Choices that keep lights off most of the night let bats and snakes do their work out of sight and out of fear. These notes form a picture of a native predator doing its job in a world made complex by us. The picture does not require drama. It requires attention. It requires respect for a web that holds food on plates and voices in trees. It requires a truth that many islanders already carry. Balance is work. Work done while pays back in quiet. At dawn, the cave mouth cools. The vine where the boa hung is empty. The floor holds a few insect wings and the dust of a night's passage. Far off, a parrot calls from a ridge where the canopy is broken and then whole again. In a yard, a child lifts a lid and checks that feed is safe. Three small scenes link through air and time. That link is the food web the island lives inside. The chapter ends with one more field image. A stone wall runs along the back of a plot. It holds heat like a slow fire. A boa lies half in shade and half in light with a curve that looks like ease but serves a purpose. Warmth moves through a meal that will power the next climb, the next wait, and the next careful strike that keeps the web turning without a word. Protection starts with a rule on paper and grows into habits on the ground. Jamaica lists the Jamaican boa as a protected wild animal. It is illegal to kill, capture, or trade one without permission. Export is restricted under international rules. These lines in law do not stop a stick in a yard by themselves. They give rangers, police, and judges a frame to act when a case appears. Protected areas give the species room to breathe. Forest reserves in karst country hold routes that stay shaded and cool. A patchwork of conservation lands in the south keeps dry forests standing. The idea is simple. Keep limestone hills intact. Keep caves clean. Keep edges from fraying. The boa does the rest if the land holds. Enforcement is a patient craft. Officers work long roads and small lanes. Most cases begin with a call from a neighbor who sees harm and speaks. Fines and court dates follow. People learn that the law is real. Respect grows fastest where law and neighborly teaching move together. Rescue calls arrive each rainy season. A boa curls under a tank, in a storeroom, or beneath a bag of cement. Teams step in with calm hands. They guide the snake into a ventilated crate and carry it to scrub or forest at dusk. The rule is light touch, short trip, and release near cover. A human solves a human problem and lets the animal return to its loop. Roads remain a hard risk. Night heat draws snakes to asphalt after rain. Simple fixes help at known crossing points. Signs warn drivers where walls and drains make a corridor. Rumble strips slow cars near cave mouths. A low fence funnels animals toward a culvert. These measures cost less than one new lane. They save more than one snake. Lighting can be tuned without drama. Bright lights left on all night draw insects, then frogs, then snakes. Motion sensors near coops give short bursts that wake people and then shut off. Street lights shielded from above spill less light into forest edges. The night stays dark enough for bats and boas to work unseen. Invasive control is the long fight that never ends. Mongooses are clever, quick, and hard to erase. Yet pressure can be cut. Villages run trap lines where day hunters pass through yards. Traps stay covered to prevent harm to pets and birds. Dogs are kept in at dawn and dusk. Coops stand on legs with guards. Each step is small. Together they reduce the constant day pressure that hits young snakes first. Poison has a cost beyond rats. Secondary poisoning can strike owls, cats, dogs, and snakes that eat a dying rodent. Districts that switch to snap traps and sealed bins report fewer sick animals. They also report fewer surprise meetings with snakes at doorways. Food locked away removes the draw that sets the whole chain in motion. Community patrols bring eyes to the places law cannot stand each night. Youth groups walk lanes after heavy rain to check drains. Church members take a turn sweeping litter from sinkholes. Farmers in one valley agree to call before anyone acts in fear. The patrols do not chase. They tend. They keep edges tidy and reduce risks that spark panic. Schools are the engine of change. A lesson with shed skins, a field walk to a cave mouth, and a clear story about what the boa eats shift minds that will set the habits of a home. Children teach their parents to latch bins and fix holes. They correct myths with plain facts. Respect grows one child at a time. Assurance colonies exist in a few zoos abroad. These programs keep genetic lines safe and teach keepers how to care for the species if a crisis ever called for a head start. Local partners work to make any captive efforts a tool, not a replacement for wildlife. The priority remains land, routes, and daily choices that keep the snake where it has always lived. Head starting is a careful idea. In some island reptiles, young are raised to a safer size and then released. The method makes sense only when habitat is ready and threats are managed. People here test small steps. A single snake from a rescue may be held for a short time, fed, and released at dusk near strong cover. Records track whether such releases settle and survive. The aim is to keep the wild wild, not to build a farm of snakes. Science runs under all of this work. Night transects record sightings by time and weather. Cameras watch trunk routes and cave lips. Bat counts track food flow. Parrot teams report nest fates and note when a predator is likely. Data from these threads join in a common ledger. Trends emerge. Adjustments follow. One valley near a busy road shows a path forward. A sign and a rumble strip went in near a known crossing. A motion light replaced a bright yard lamp. A shop set feet on pallets inside a rodent-tight room. A school club talked with neighbors about keeping drains clear. Within a year, fewer road kills were counted. Fewer rat chews hit grain sacks. People reported seeing boas in the bush, not on the step. The measures were small. The effect was clear. Another site shows a warning. A new fence went up around a patch of scrub to protect parrots, but the fence blocked a culvert that animals used to move under the road. Snakes began crossing the asphalt and dying. A ranger noticed and called a meeting. The fence shifted to leave a gap at the culvert. Crossings dropped to normal. The lesson was sharp. Protect one thing without closing the door on another. Habitat work pays the longest dividend. Planting native trees along drains hardens edges against heat and clears a route that a heavy climber can use. Leaving a tangle at the back of a plot creates a buffer that keeps a snake on the wall and out of the yard. Replacing a scrap pile near a coop with a raised stack in open air pulls rodents away from houses. These steps are low cost and high return. Tour guides and farmers carry a special role. A guide who can spot a shed skin and explain it turns fear into interest in 1 minute. A farmer who keeps ledgers of rat sign and feed loss shows the math that matters to a home. When these local voices speak, neighbors listen. They share what works. They drop what does not. Media shapes tone. Radio programs that highlight native wildlife create pride. Short segments show a boa at a cave mouth and a child counting bats. The narrator names the places. He ends with a simple ask. Close bins. Close coops at dusk. Leave the yellow snake alone. People repeat lines they hear on mornings when the kettle sings. Policy moves slowly but counts. When miners set terms, foresters can ask for buffers along ridges and around cave complexes. When planners draw new roads, biologists can mark culvert sites and dark corridors. When building codes update, advice on rodent-proofing grain rooms can appear as a line item. The boa never reads these documents. It feels their effect in quiet nights and safe passages. Funding threads through all of it. Small grants buy bins, signs, and field notebooks. Larger grants pay for surveys and training. A district that learns how to write a simple project proposal can keep a program alive for years. Success stories attract more help. The key is to show steady results, not a single spike. Social norms change the fastest when a few respected people take the first step. A shopkeeper keeps a poster by the till. A pastor speaks once about care for creation and the creatures we meet at dusk. A district constable asks people to call before they act. A teacher credits the farmer who shared his ledger. Each act is small. Together they set a new default. Rescue centers help when fear gets ahead of knowledge. A hotline answers in plain language. Trained staff arrive with a crate and a plan. They do not lecture. They act. They leave a card with 3 steps for the next time. Close bins. Close coops. Call. The card stays on a fridge door. A crisis turns into a call instead of a stick. Research partners return value to communities by sharing results. A meeting under a school's almond tree at the end of a study goes a long way. People hear what the numbers say. They see their actions in charts that track rat signs and sightings. They ask questions. They correct errors. They become co-authors of the next season. Young people want to help. Programs give them jobs that matter. Mapping walls that hold heat. Logging culverts that work. Calling out gaps in coops and corners in shops that draw rodents. Small stipends carry respect. The work carries pride. Myths fade when people see a thing with their own eyes. A night walk that ends with a view of a boa hunting at a cave mouth changes the conversation. The animal is not a curse or a tale told to frighten a child. It is a patient hunter that moves with purpose. The guide speaks softly. The group whispers and steps back. Fear loosens. The law can be sharpened by clarity. Penalties must be known. Permits must be fair and fast when science needs a sample or a rescue needs a soft release. Agencies coordinate so that one hand does not protect while another opens a door to harm. Confusion breeds loopholes. Simplicity closes them. Captive knowledge supports wild care. Keepers learn diet, temperature needs, and signs of stress. Vets learn how to treat injuries from cars and dogs. When a snake arrives thin and scraped, a team knows how to bring it back and return it to the right habitat. The goal is always release when fit. The exception is when injury or location makes release unsafe. Stories of success anchor patients. In one parish, annual yard meetings turned sticks into brooms. People still kept tools by doors. They used them to guide, not to strike. Rat signs fell. Hens settled. Children slept. The boa remained a neighbor, not a target. The story moved from lane to lane without a campaign. It spread because it worked. Measures fail at times. A trunk band meant to stop a snake from reaching a parrot nest also blocked ants that the parrot feeds on when food runs low. The team noted the change and removed the band. They tried a different tree the next season and cut only the vine ladder. Chicks fledged. Adults fed. The field notes carried both outcomes. The work improved. The island's future will test all of this. Drought years push snakes toward the last cool places at dawn. Wildfire scars routes that took decades to form. Storms fell old trees that served as nest sites and bridges. Planning for these swings means keeping big blocks of habitat intact and ensuring that routes between them remain passable. In the end, Saving a secretive snake is not a grand act. It is a chain of small acts repeated, a bin closed each night, a fence checked each month, a sign placed at a crossing, a child taught the right name, a ranger given the tools to do the job, a shopkeeper choosing bins over poison, a school club counting bats on a Thursday at dusk. The work honors the island's living heritage. The boa has shared these valleys with people since the first hut went up on a karst ridge. It has hunted quietly across centuries while ledgers rose and fell with markets. It will keep doing that work if land stands, if edges are tended, and if fear yields a little to fact. The chapter ends with a simple plan for the next night. Put the lid on the bin. Check the coop latch. Walk the wall and sweep the base. Turn off the yard light. If the yellow snake passes, let it. If it settles near a step, give it a path to the dark. Call if help is needed. The rest is silence and a world that keeps working while most of the island sleeps. Morning haze sits over the karst hills. The day will be hot. By noon the stone will hold heat, and the dry forest will feel tight. The yellow snake will wait in shade and move when light drops. The island will keep its rhythm. People will set the next set of choices. Climate tests every piece of that rhythm. Dry spells last longer than they did. Fires run along ridges and leave ash over pockets where vines once tied branch to branch. Heavy rain then falls in a short burst and cuts new channels through soft soil. Routes the boa used for years snap and reform in strange lines. The animal can adjust. The land needs time and space to do the same. Heat changes simple math. Food takes longer to digest. A safe wall must hold warmth into late night without baking a snake in daylight. When nights stay hot, animals hunt later and rest farther back in cover. That pushes movement closer to dawn when dogs start to roam and roads begin to fill. A small shift in temperature can lift risk by a step in every valley. Bauxite still shapes parts of the south and center. The process cuts wide scars and builds new roads. Dust settles on leaves. Trucks run after dark. Each stage pulls on the same web the boa uses at night. The fix is not only a rule about where to dig. It is a set of buffers, dark corridors, culverts that match the ground, and a plan to rebuild cover that snakes can use while trees grow back. Coastal projects bring a different strain. Scrub near the sea holds small mammals and roosts for bats. When that scrub goes, the food chain thins. A boa once tied to a ridge above a bay may still live, but the nightly loop now aches with gaps. The solution is to keep strips of dry forest uncut between beach and hills, to leave rocky belts untouched, and to plant native trees that bind sand and limestone back together. Tourism can help or harm. A cave walk that pushes crowds up to a fragile lip breaks both rock and routes. A guided walk that stands 10 steps back and uses red light lets bats and snakes work without stress. A tour that ends with a short talk about bins, latches, and drain sends people home with steps that matter. A resort that lights a cliff face all night drives away the very life guests came to see. A resort that shields lights and keeps paths dark after hours keeps the night alive. Agriculture has its own fork in the road. Small farms face pressure to stretch margins in hard years. The cheapest method is not always the best one. Poison may seem fast when rats rise, but it spreads harm in slow ways. Bin storage, snap traps, clean drains, and tight coops take time and small money. They return that effort by cutting loss and keeping free hunters in the system. A crop that holds through harvest is the clearest reward. Schools and youth groups remain the steady fix. A child who learns that none of the island snakes are venomous teaches that fact 100 times in a life. A class that builds a bat box and watches it at dusk learns patience. A club that maps culverts and signs underpasses helps agencies draw real plans. The next generation grows up with a habit of looking closely and acting early. Technology does not have to be fancy. A phone app for logging sightings with time and place can feed a live map. A shared folder of wall and culvert photos helps planners choose where to act. A motion camera on a trunk records routes that no one sees. Tools like these work when neighbors use them and when agencies listen to what they show. Law will need to keep up. Protected status must be clear. Penalties must fit what is lost when a native animal dies. Permits for research and rescue must move at the speed of real life. Mining and road plans should include wildlife lines from the first sketch. A law on its own is a fence on paper. A law backed by design in the field becomes a path that animals can find. Culture is the mouth of the river. The words people use for the snake will shape its future. Yellow Snake carries fear for some and care for others. Nanka carries old warnings and respect in equal measure. Jamaican Boa ties the animal to the place in a way that invites pride. Radio shows, church talks, school plays, and market chatter decide which tone wins. Pride in a living neighbor beats fear over time. Money matters. Many good plans fail because no one funds the dull parts. Bins, wire, signs, patrol fuel, workshop sheets, data entry. These are not grand, but they make the grand outcomes real. Small grants spread wide can beat one large splash. Funds that stay a few years build habits instead of headlines. Local leaders carry weight that outside experts cannot match. A farmer with a ledger can stop a stick. A shopkeeper with bins can cut poison use in a street. A guide with a quiet voice can shift fear into respect in one night. A constable who knows both the law and the lanes can turn an angry call into a safe release. These people should lead, be named, and be backed. The diaspora can help without telling people at home what to do. A club abroad can buy bins for a school. A church can sponsor a poster run and a few field nights. A hometown group can fund 2 youth stipends to log culverts and talk to shopkeepers. Gifts work best when they follow local plans and when credit stays local. Media can keep a drumbeat. Short pieces that show a boa hunting from a vine, a child counting bats, and a farmer closing a bin give a picture that sticks. The message is not a list of rules. It is a simple rhythm. Close food. Keep edges tidy. Let the snake do its work. Repeat. Science will keep asking for more detail. A better count. A tighter map. A clearer view of how parrots and boas share a valley. These questions deserve time. They also deserve a feedback loop. When a study ends, the results should go first to the people who live with the animal each night. A meeting under a tree is worth a journal that no one nearby will read. Road design is a lever that moves a lot with small force. A 1 meter change in a curb can push animals toward a culvert. A darker bulb can keep insects near ground and away from high lamps. A rumble strip can lower speed in the one place where snakes cross. Builders need drawings that show these details at the start. Fixing later costs more and saves less. Fire control will matter more with hotter dry seasons. A fire that runs for 2 miles strips vines from trunks and opens holes that rats exploit. Community fire lines and quick response teams can stop a small burn from eating a whole slope. After a fire, people can plant fast-climbing native vines on key trunks to rebuild bridges in the canopy. A few hours with a machete and rope can shorten the time a parrot nest is easy to reach. Cave care is another pillar. Trash at an entrance changes bat flow. Smoke inside kills colonies that took years to build. Gates designed for bats and scientists keep people out without blocking wings. Signs at paths that approach mouths can steer hikers to better viewpoints. The aim is not to close the land. It is to keep the engine that feeds half the valley alive. Invasive control will never be one and done. Mongooses, feral cats, and rats fill any slack. The best approach mixes traps, yard habits, and lines in law that stop new releases. A district can mark a week each quarter as clean edge week. Drains are cleared. Scrap piles moved. Coops checked. When a rhythm like that sets in, numbers shift without endless meetings. Faith groups can add a steady voice. Many already care for land and water as part of worship. A short note about respect for creatures that share the evening can fit easily. It comes without argument. It meets people where they live. A pledge helps turn all of this into a promise. It is not a legal thing. It is a simple list that fits on a card. Close bins. Close coops at dusk. Keep drains clear. Move scrap piles away from walls. Leave the yellow snake alone. Call for help if one settles where people pass. A school can post it. A shop can tape it by the till. A church can hand it out after service. A home can stick it to a fridge. The island can measure progress with quiet numbers. Rat chews logged by shopkeepers. Road kills counted by youth on set days. Parrot fledging rates recorded with care and shared in a village meeting. Boa sightings mapped over seasons. The line should go toward fewer kills, fewer chews, more fledglings, more sightings in bush and fewer on steps. People will trust the work if the numbers are honest. There is room for celebration. A district that goes a year without a road kill at a known crossing can paint a small snake on the curb and mark the date. A school that lifts the number of fledged parrots can plant a tree and put a small sign by it. A farm that cuts feed loss in half can speak about it on the radio. Pride locks in habit. there will still be fear. A person who meets a boa near a door will jump. A rumor will run through a lane. A dog will bark. The fix is not to scold. The fix is to return to the path. Give space. Guide with a broom if needed. Close the hole. Share the number to call. Tell the story that fits the facts. Repeat as often as needed. Some questions need long watches. How will climate change shift the boa's breeding season? Will longer dry spells push more snakes toward drains and yards? Will storms that break vine bridges help parrots for a year and hurt them the next? These are not questions for a lab alone. They are for farmers, teachers, guides, and youth who keep notes and share them. Partnerships make the load lighter. Agencies bring rules and tools. Communities bring eyes and daily habit. Scientists bring methods and maps. NGOs bring training and small grants. Media brings tone. The diaspora brings a bit of cash at the right time. When each part stays in its lane and respects the others, the work holds. The story of the yellow snake is not a fight between people and a predator. It is a test of whether an island can keep its living systems working while people work and rest. The boa eats the animals that would eat food and carry illness into homes. It sometimes takes a chick in a yard with a hole. People can fix the hole. People can let the snake pass. People can keep the web strong with calm hands. A vision for 10 years is clear enough to name. Boas are seen in bush more often than on roads. Road kills drop at known crossings. Shops sell more bins than poison. Schools count bats and share the totals on notice boards. Parrot teams report more chicks fledged at edge trees where vine ladders were trimmed with care. Farmers keep ledgers that show fewer rat signs and steadier harvests. Fear stories fade. Respect stories grow. None of this asks for perfection. It asks for steady steps that stack. A lid on a bin. A fence checked. A light shielded. A culvert kept open. A vine cut where it becomes a ladder and left where it ties forest to forest. A child told the right name. A neighbor given a calm word at dusk. Evening comes back to the ridge. Air cools along the wall. A rat tests the base and finds no gap. A bat passes the breadfruit and turns toward the sinkhole. A heavy body shifts on a branch and waits where two limbs meet. A door latch clicks. A yard light stays off. The night takes over. The farmer sits on the step. He hears a soft move in the leaves. He does not stand. He knows the sound now. It is part of the place. In the morning, he will check the bin and the fence. He will walk the line where the wall meets the soil. He will write a note if he finds a sign. The work will go on. The road ahead is not a mystery. It is a set of acts within reach. Keep food sealed. Keep edges clean. Keep routes open. Keep laws clear. Keep children curious. Keep fear in check. If the island holds to those lines, the yellow snake will keep to its loops in the dark and do the job it has always done. The choice rests with hands that close a latch each night and with voices that say the right name in calm tones when a shy hunter crosses the yard.